September 18, 2020, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
Steal, but I've got needs.
For Pedro show, happy Friday. Usually I don't do shows on Friday. Usually, since March, I've been doing 3 shows a week. But this week, I'm doing 4 shows because I got special guests here, Josh Klingerhofer and Bob Forrest from the Thelonious Monster, because they got a release coming. And in fact, we started the show off John Coltrane with Kenny Burrell. Kind of trippy album for John Coltrane because he didn't record with a lot of guitar players. But with Josh, I thought it was appropriate. Why Was I Born is the name of the tune. I got to see him in Pedro. Dezo's daddy booked a gig at this Tell downtown. It was new at the time. And Kenny Burrell, what a guitar man. And then The Bicycle Thief, which is Bob and Josh. Do a Boy at a Bus Stop. Okay. Let's, you know, Josh has been on the show before and he talked about his musical history, but Bob, we've never had you on. I think Josh was on like 10 years ago, though. It was quite a while ago.
Yeah, it was even longer than that, I think. I was looking at an old calendar book the other day and I saw when it was. I'll look it up while we talk.
Okay, maybe 12? Okay, something like that.
Something like that.
But I remember
we did it at Brother Matt's place.
That's right, you drove down to Pedro.
Yeah.
By the way, Carla Bozulich sang the song Drove Up from Pedro that I wrote.
Yep.
Me and Bob Forrest was talking before.
About the modern right. recording world of file sharing and internet. And that Carla and I sang on a song, though we were never in a room together. It's crazy.
And it was via an Italian connect, which was
across
the ocean.
It went from Big Sur. Me and Xander Sloss recorded an acoustic record in Big Sur. The guy who produced it, I Am Brennan, lives in Italy. He took it back to Italy, overdubbed it, sent the file to Carla. She put the vocals on it, went back to Italy, and then it came to me. And it was like a miracle. Yeah. It's like a miracle what you can do, Mike.
That's right. So I want to hear anybody sitting on their hands and like belly aching and pissing and moaning about this fucking situation with the COVID-19. Yeah, it's fucked up, but there's still shit we can do, people.
Josh has already made a whole album.
See that?
He just made an album, right, Josh?
Yeah.
Those guys, there's a bass and drum, you know, actual bass and actual drum. They're called the L10. They just made a triple album. And my friends in Galaxy out in the desert, they made 16 albums in this period.
Yeah.
Now they're improvised, okay? So you know, a little Coltrane trip there. But look, let's. I'm curious, Bob, about your journey through music. What's your earliest musical recollection?
The Minutemen, of course. How can you fucking live in L.A. and not be mesmerized and taken by you and your guys? And it was just a magical time, 1983, I think.
But you don't have any memories as a boy growing up?
Yeah, I do. Talking to you always brings these ideas of all the hundreds of shows. I must have seen you guys 100 times. Like, remember, you played at the L.A. music scene downtown, and on a flatbed truck.
Yep.
And Dennis was jumping up and down, and the thing was bouncing on the tires of the thing. It was one of the greatest things ever. Me and Keith Morris were standing there like, look at this.
Yeah.
This is what life is all about.
That got painted at the Trader Joe's here in Pedro.
You're kidding.
I shit thee not, man. I mean, I saw it in there and was like, what the fuck? I mean, obviously they did it from a picture, but what a trip. Where'd you grow up as a boy?
When I was a kid, I had 3 older sisters, and so I really, even though I was born in 61, I remember the Beatles on Ed Sullivan because my sisters were screaming in the living room. And the album that I remember is Pet Sounds. My sisters were obsessed with that. Wouldn't It Be Nice? And God Only Knows. And so 67, 68. I was like, you know, that perfect situation where I got teenage girl, older sisters just blasting music all the time in the house. I remember the day Abbey Road came out. My sister got it and was playing it in the living room, and my dad lost his mind and said, you listen to that in your bedroom, goddammit.
Now, was there any instruments in the pad?
Yeah, my mom played organ, which, you know, is right up your alley. And we had a big organ, and they'd get drunk, and they'd play, I don't know, old Irish songs. songs or weird drunken songs. My mom would play organ.
Now, did you ever get on it, Bob? Did you ever jump on that organ?
Yeah, I used to. Well, I like the foot pedals, and it make your lower region feel good when I was a boy.
Bass. Now, right? What was the
it
first
was a
record?
Real organ, and why you would know this. Yeah. My parents come from the Midwest, from Minnesota, and they called a den, which is what we all in California call the den, like the second living room or whatever. They called it a rumpus room.
Yeah.
So in the rumpus room was a jukebox and an organ and a bar. And every Friday night at our house, something was going on.
Whoa. What was the first record you bought for yourself with your own money?
I'm embarrassed to say. This has been haunting me forever. This is a question they ask, like a Pitchfork and all these different things, and I've sometimes lied, but the actual truth is Frampton Comes Alive.
I remember when that came out. I graduated high school that year. What was the first, San Pedro High School, class 76. What was the first gig you went to?
First gig was Kiss at Anaheim Stadium.
Whoa.
I remember that.
I remember seeing that. I think ZZ Top played too.
It was amazing. I sat way up on the top deck in the Anaheim Stadium. You might as well have been at home to see Kiss, but it was amazing.
No, me and my buddy Tony saw the Animals Pink Floyd thing in the same seats at the very top of that fucking thing.
Because people, I was scared. I was like, what was I, 15?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, holy shit, there's 50,000 people here.
What about grade school? Were you in the choir, the marching band?
Yeah, I was in the choir, men's glee club, all my growing up. First I went to Catholic school, and I was in the choir in Catholic school. Then I went to secular high school, and then I was in the men's glee club. So that's where I learned how to sing, and that's also because I was a pretty good singer and could harmonize or whatever.
Yeah.
I got to be in this, in the advanced glee club that toured around California and stuff. And I was a freshman. It was all seniors. And the seniors turned me on to all kinds of music because you want to, like, be cool and be like the older guys.
Sure.
And they were listening to Jeff Beck Wired and, what was that? The Wes Bruce and Lang. Remember that band?
Yeah,
Wes
Why
Bruce
Don't
and
You?
Lang?
It was called Why Don't You?
What was it? I don't know.
Yeah. It was Corky Lang.
I just bought whatever
it was. Wesley West and Corky
guys said to buy. I bought them.
It was Wesley. I'm trying to think of their names. It was Corky Lang and
Jack Bruce.
Jack Bruce from Cream, but the other two guys were from Mountain.
Leslie West.
Yeah. Why don't you? And they had their heads coming out of little clouds. I remember. I saw them at the Long Beach Arena.
Records are just a way of life. I was at a record store yesterday. You know, I want to give a shout out. The Glass House Record Store in Pomona is open every day.
Yeah.
It's so great. You gotta have vinyl and records, and it's just amazing. I still do it every day. That's what Josh and I click, cause he's like a throwback to our era. He's gotta have every record, correct, Josh Klinghoffer?
I'm trying to shed that illness, but.
Yeah, that's okay. It's a disease worth having, like curiosity, right? I wanna play Hurt.
Well, you can't hurt me cause I'm unhurtable, and you can't scare me cause I'm unshakable, and you can't touch me cause I'm unreachable, and you can't get me cause I'm unforgettable. Yeah, I've decided I'm not going through it again. Yeah, I made my mind up, I'm not gonna do it again. Well, I've done things that are unforgivable, I've made mistakes that are irreversible, so please don't give it, cause I can't take it. I made my bed, now I'm gonna lay in it. Yeah, I've decided I'm not going through it again.
Thank you. Thank you. Sing for the madman. Sing for the thief. It's a shame I am getting used to my full-time disbelief. Counting the blessings while I am still alive. I just sang 18 secrets to a weeknight cry. And I'll meet you at the Narrows while there's December's strange to pull us from a sinkhole with basaltic fangs. And if we somehow make it, will you walk with me on the boardwalk with the beggars down the orange lit streets? Goodbye, seeker. Goodbye. Guards pass to the turnstiles for another night. In the distance I hear the sandbar fighting with the tide. And I woke up in the lobby to a world turned black and white. Thought about the gloaming and the peace in my brother's eyes. Goodbye, seeker. Goodbye. Thank you.
The only thing that the spring will bring is its cruelty and violent hard cold. The covers desert and keeps us safe. Yeah. Our weaknesses and adversity pull us together. We're just like Christmas does. Yeah, and who's to say that when we're lonely, you're not supposed to be here. And it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Right now, we're right now, yeah. When it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. Right now, we're right now. It's all alright. There's hardly anything that's not beautiful or magical. Itself. Well, can't the truth be known by a sinner, the same as a saint, yeah? And it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, right now, we're right now, yeah. And it's alright, it's alright, it's alright, right now, we're right now. It's all alright. What I'm trying to say about this whole mess is that it's your own experience. Well, there really is no right or wrong. And there just is, yeah.
Show that was Hurt from the Bicycle Thief. Then we had Drekka, brand new, Sense of the Senses. Bogdan Rosinski after that with Duga Podos with Chumarach. Yeah, my Slav ain't too good. Sorry. Forgive me. His name is Alive with Model Home doing late night dub few signal from her solo record. Goodbye Abscon from Will Johnson, his new record. Thor and His Friends, brand new, off her meds. Out of Austin. And finally, It's All Right by the Bicycle Thief. So, Bob, I got to ask you, did you ever do the thing like the bed after school, the bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band thing with your buddies?
Yeah, we tried, but me and my friend Jimmy that lived next door, we didn't really know. We had acoustic guitars around, and we would just bang them. I started using it as percussion, like, because I couldn't really figure out chords. I was like 9 or 10. And so we would just use them as percussion, and we kind of just played drums on acoustic guitars, and we would sing, you know, whatever KHJ hit songs of the day were.
Okay,
Pushing Too
okay.
Hard, remember that, Tom?
Sure.
You could play that with just drums. You're pushing too hard, you're pushing on me.
That's, they were called,
so just the rhythm.
They were called the Seeds.
The Seeds, right.
Right, right.
Sky Saxon.
Used to hang out, yeah. Remember, he was at some Rogers. Early punk gigs.
He was
yeah.
at Rogers.
Rogers, all kinds of places. The Tropicana right. Hotel was his big...
Well, you know how there's certain songs from that era when I was growing up that all you really need to do is stomp your feet and you can sing it. Like, it was, that was one of the, my favorite songs in childhood. Cause it was just like, you're pushing too hard, you're pushing on me, you know, like, and you got two little 9-year-old boys singing that.
Right. Now, did you and Jimmy do gigs? No. What was the first band that you no. did gigs with?
The first gigs I did bands with was with Chris Hansen and that ended up, we were in Thelonious Monster okay. for 35 years. We were in high school together and we formed a band called Capitalist Pigs Incorporated. Yeah. Very much modeled on Public Image. We were very obsessed with Public Image,
right.
the first Public Image album.
Did you
and
see
so
that
we
gig?
Played, we played at Golden West College where we went to school and we played some parties and that's what led to my musical career because I really was going to be a guitar player. I could play guitar good enough, probably as good as I can now, like G to C to D. Durf Scratch taught me how to play guitar, by the way. And
by the way, I bought my first Fender P bass from Durf Scratch. His parents were selling real estate in Santa Monica on the beach. And I remember the recycler, the pink paper?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went and answered the phone number, and he sold me a Fender P for $300. It's that black one on the inside of Double Nickels on the Dime.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, did you see the Public Image gig at the Olympic Auditorium?
Yeah, I was there, scared shitless. I still had long hair then. I was scared shitless.
There was a lot of spit at that gig.
Yeah, that was when the tire hit the road, wasn't it, Watt?
No,
You had to choose sides at that thing.
There was a dude here from Pedro that was kind of square, John. You know, he didn't know about the movement or anything, and he went to the gig with us. And he had broken his leg, and he ate some L. And he got into the music so intense, he stomped his fucking cast off. So we called him Adam Barnstomp after that. Yeah, he stomped a broken leg.
What's it called?
Adam Barnstomp, because he stomped his fucking cast off.
Dude, that was that a life-changing gig for you?
Yeah, it was good. But Joe Wobble was really good. I think they had Martin Atkins on the drum, and the guitar
Levine.
Keith Levine, right.
Right.
Not,
and if you remember, who opened that gig? Los Plugs? And the Kipper Kids. Remember the Kipper Kids?
Yep. Bette Midler, one of Bette Midler's, maybe her husband.
Yeah, husband. Yeah.
So I'm at the mat, too. In fact, Georgie took the bottle of ketchup out of the dude's hand. He was lifting up his little, little thing hiding his cock. And he had a bottle of ketchup. And Georgie, squirted the ketchup on him and shit. We were drunk.
Right.
Yeah, we were drunk. Look, how'd you meet Josh?
I was sitting, I had gotten off drugs, you know, I have a pretty extensive drug history, and I was at my girlfriend, who had just gotten sober too, at her parents' house. We were staying at her parents' house. I was 34 years old, and hopeless and helpless and lost, and just trying to stay off of heroin. I was sitting in the kitchen drinking coffee, and this ball of energy walked in the front door and just looked at me and says, "Brian here?" And that's my girlfriend's brother. And I was like, I think so. And he just pointed down the hall at Brian's bedroom. And then he walked down and went in the kid's bedroom. And my girlfriend came out. And I said, some kid just came in here. Who is it? Like, really weird, strange energy. And she goes, that's probably Josh. That's a kid I tell you is a great drummer. You should talk to him about forming a band. That's how I met Josh Klinghoffer.
You took a chance on me.
What's your memory, Josh?
He was a drummer. Josh was a drummer then.
I didn't know that. But you know what? If you could play drums, you can play fucking anything, I think. The big mistake the Minutemen made was putting George Hurley in the back. That motherfucker should have been right up front like I do now. Josh, what's your memory of it? Do you remember seeing Bob Forrest when he was 34 years old?
Yeah, around then. I remember more, I mean, I guess I would probably blew by you at that time, but I don't know if we met that time.
No,
right?
We didn't meet that time, but I felt your energy. that you still have to this day, by the way.
Right, yeah. So when did we meet? Did I just come down to your place after you gave me a call, or did we meet for the first time at that monster gig at Delancey Street? Is that when?
Yeah, was it Delancey Street? Yeah, I think. Yeah, yeah. So you know Delancey Street, Watt, that drug program, that big huge drug program off the Hollywood Freeway?
No, but I know about Delancey Street that leads to the Williamsburg Bridge in New York City.
Yeah, it started there in the 50s as a rehab, and now there's one in L.A.
Okay.
And Flea got involved with helping and, you know, donating money and helping the program. And so he said, hey, you know, we should play a gig for these people at Delancey Street. And I said, why aren't Chili Peppers playing? He goes, oh, we can't. So then we got Thelonious Monster back together with Flea playing bass, and we played at Delancey Street, and I think Brian and Josh came, right?
Yeah, and John played that, too.
Oh, John played it, too.
Yeah.
And so
You're talking to John Frusciante?
Yeah, that was January of 2000 and, of 97. January of 97. Yeah. That's when I would have met you. It was like January 3rd or 4th.
Yeah, how old were you on that day, Josh Klinghoffer?
97. My math is slow. I was probably 17.
17 Whoa. Years old, Watt.
But he wasn't really playing. He was a gig goer, right?
I was just starting to play guitar kind of at that point. And then Bob and I started playing together about 6 months later.
Now, right? How'd that happen? How did that happen?
I think
So, you know, Thelonious Monster was a band that played in a room, like all bands in the mid-80s, right? What? So you got in a room, and everybody was jammed, and then you came up with songs. And eventually it evolved into, like, I kind of write a song, and then we kind of jam it out and work it out. And that was the way I wrote songs. I didn't know how to... You couldn't really put a band together of five people and go jam and play and then all will write a song. So I started just writing songs on acoustic guitar, but I'm not very imaginative or know a lot of chords or how to make songs, you know, open up like a flower is what I always say. What? You know what band I try to model my songwriting after and it never works? Meat Puppet. There's like a chord with the Meat Puppets where the whole song opens up like a flower. Like, it's the most beautiful thing, the way he unfolds his songs. And so I tried to do that, but I can't do it on my own. So then Josh was playing acoustic guitar, and he could do it. I could have a song like Herd or Boy at a Bus Stop or Serial Song, and he could make it into this thing like that opens up like a flower is the only way I know how to describe it.
Bob,
and so
Bob.
We started writing songs immediately.
Yeah, Bob, I want to know.
He couldn't play guitar that good.
Yeah, but Bob, I want to know the first song you wrote with Josh, please.
I'd Tear It Out, Josh? Is that what it is?
Yeah, maybe. A song that we never finished or never put out.
Yeah.
Bob had a couple songs already before I came around, so that's what we worked on first. So the first one we wrote together was either this song that hasn't come out ever called I Tear It Out, or maybe It's All Right would have been around there too.
Yeah, It's All Right.
And what happened? Did it open up like a flower?
It certainly does. Boy at a Bus Stop does. That was like when I realized, like, we can do this. Just the idea was what, and you remember that era, 97, 98, 99, it was the era of Beck. Like, Beck works with people, but he's the songwriter, and then you create these songs, like, almost like tapestries of a song. And so that's what me and Josh were going to write the songs and then create those things behind that fill out the song.
Yeah, were you guys thinking rhythm section?
Well, Josh would play drums. So, like, we had a drummer and a semi-guitar player. We just had to figure it out.
Okay.
And I had never been in a band before, really, a serious band. So I was obsessed with, as maybe a young person might be prone to be, I was obsessed with the idea of doing everything live and doing everything like you used to do it. So when we were making this record and we were just the two of us and we had hooked up with these two guys to kind of produce it with us, I was still trying to make everything sort of live sounding and get in a room and play and do as much of that as we could. So we did have Kevin Fitzgerald from the Fibbers play drums a little bit.
You know, he's originally from Alaska.
Yes,
I know. He's back. He went back there, I think.
Is that right?
I heard he went back to Alaska.
Wow. I heard, though, he's kind of lame when it comes to driving the van. Like, he will not ask for directions. One time, Carla Bozwich was in the boat with us on tour, and I stopped and asked some dude at the gas station. She says, I'm having a heart attack. And I said, why? Because Kevin Fitzgerald would never do that. I said, well, I don't like fucking wandering.
Bob and Kevin definitely disagreed with how to treat the band.
How to tour, for sure. There was bumping
moments.
Here's what happened in the old days. We were modeling. Everybody just modeled after, and I don't know if people realize how instrumental SST and the bands were. But what you guys established, then all the rest of us just followed. And what I liked about going on the road was meeting people and, like, getting lost and maybe even missing a gig because you ended up in El Paso or something. It was just like the wild west.
We got to give credit to Black Flag. They were the dudes who wrote the Bible. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. We're at the end of the first hour, September 18, 2020, Dish Watt for Peeper Show. Special guest Bob and Josh. Hold tight for hour two. September 18, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watt for Peeper Show.
When I look at you, you're walking on down the street, and you are finally free, but you're crying. And look at me, well, I got what I wanted. I am free now, not drowning, but something feels wrong, or something is terribly wrong. I feel horrible. I got what I wanted, though. Well, I can go golfing now whenever I want. I can talk to girls and probably won't. And you can stay with your friends, tell them what an asshole I. What I wanted, though, and I is not a home.
beach. I get your best up out of reach. Now I'm going to Tennessee. You won't get no letter from me, but please sing my song.
Submachine take one. got a 12-year-old boy, and he's always bored, and so are all his friends, and so am I. The schools don't teach you nothing you'll never need to know, so why even go, why even try? We're going down, yeah, and it don't matter what you've heard, we're going down. Oh, it don't matter what you want, we're going down. Science took a religion, and women wanna be men. Money is all that matters, yeah, money is all there is. And I just can't stop thinking, don't fell from within. And in a love affair with violence, with a bit more jazz, we're going down. Yeah, it don't matter what you've heard, we're going down. Oh, it don't matter what you think, we're going down. So let's get stoned and watch TV, well, let's just get stoned. Let's just get stoned and watch TV, well, let's just get stoned. Let's just get stoned and watch TV, well, let's just get stoned. Let's just get stoned and watch TV, well, let's just get stoned.
There are no simple answers. Why does luxury pull us apart? Why does the apathy keep growing from the bottom to the top? Hey, just cause you don't care don't mean you're not to blame. We're going down, yeah, and it don't matter what you've heard, we're going down. Yeah, it don't matter what you think, we're going down. Don't matter what you want, we're going down.
So let's get stoned and watch TV, well, let's just get stoned. Let's just get stoned and watch TV, well, let's just get stoned. You think about you, I think about me, we'll just get stoned. Let's just get stoned and watch TV.
A lot of these songs are depressing, Watt, because I kind of follow the model, you know, Paul Westerberg. They asked Paul Westerberg one time, how come all his good songs are always so sad? And he said, who wants to sit around and write a song when you're having fun?
Interesting. You know what? I heard, though, it was Tommy's brother's band.
Yeah, it was. Well, yeah, Westerberg was walking home as a janitor, and they were playing. They were already a band.
Bob Stinson.
Yeah, Stinson and Tommy and Chris had a band. I think they had a singer.
Okay.
And Paul Westerberg was, he told me he was a janitor, and he was walking home and he heard this band playing in some garage, and he just crept around and looked inside, and he knew them from the neighborhood, and then he decided, like, you know, I need to be in a band over being a janitor.
Okay. So I'll take it over.
Yeah, and then that, so a lot of the Bicycle Thief songs are kind of sad and, you know,
you say you got a Paul Westerberg influence.
Yeah, I got a Paul Westerberg kind of thing. Okay. Like I have happy songs in Thelonious Monster, but they're mostly happy about getting drunk and going out. And so this new me was not going to write songs about getting drunk and going out and having fun. So it was more introspective and more about what was going on in my life and what happens after the fall and stuff like that. The main thing that you'll like, and I there's a song called Serial Song, right? And you're a big...
Actually, two of them. We got a live version and a studio version.
Okay, so Serial Song was a conscious effort of me. So I gave up my life for heroin. I was ended up homeless for 2 years living in MacArthur Park, and it was really fucked up. And I remember all the great songs that Iggy had and Lou Reed had and the Stones had about how great drugs are. And I thought, how come nobody writes songs about how fucked up drugs are, right? And I consciously wanted to write a song about what the truth is of being a heroin addict, not the romantic notion of Velvet Underground or, you know, I wanted just to put it really on paper and declare, like, this is what it really is. You end up with no teeth, no place to live, everybody hates you, and you wish you could die, but you're too scared to die. I wanted to write a song that described that part of drug addiction. I think I did pretty good, because Steve Earle told me it was the greatest song about heroin addiction he ever heard.
He just lost his boy.
I know. So fucked up.
Fucked up. You know what? John Coltrane wrote A Love Supreme as a prayer for thank you for getting me off the shit the year I was born, right? 2 weeks.
Right.
Look, I got to tell people, we start off the second hour with Off Street Park and Bicycle Thief. And Sam Bennett, please sing my song when I'm gone. Who had the time? Samuel Locke Ward. Chrome, Submachine. Crack and the One-Armed Baby by Punk as a Doornail. Vermes de Limbo, Do Limbo out of Brazil with Impro 3. And finally, the Bicycle Thief with Aspirations. Aspirations sounds positive, Bob.
Yeah. Well, it's about, you know, I noticed in my son, I have a 34-year-old son, Elijah, and I noticed how mediocre the education system was when you know, that song was written, and how everything is becoming mediocritized and strive for normal. There's all this striving for normal, and I was trying to encourage him and his friends, like, don't strive for normal. Strive for exceptional or fucking outlaw or outside the lines. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Why?
Absolutely.
It seemed like the society was saying,
we got enough Marlon Blandos. We got enough Marlon Blandos. Josh,
so that's a,
can I ask
that's
Josh
like a love up? Letter to my son, like, fuck this, fuck what they're telling you.
Yeah,
live your life.
Can I ask Josh something?
Yeah,
Josh, what was the first gig you played with Bob like?
I was unsure if I was allowed to be in the room because it was at the Opium Den, I think, and I was underage, so I just kept being fearful if I went outside to smoke, I wouldn't be able to get back in. But it was Deep Bob and Dick Denny. And, I think Bob and I had only met really a week ago, or a week before that. So yeah, it was insane.
How many practices? How many practices?
One. Just one.
Whoa.
And that was pretty much the day where I told myself, okay, I guess you're a guitarist now. I really hadn't admitted that to myself yet. I was still a drummer. So I was doing the guitar in front of other people. So I guess I had to be a guitarist.
Here, I want to play, yeah. I want to play Serial Song because Bob brought it up.
Oh, hell, oh, hell. took my life, they took my fans, they won't give them back. Well, I want them back, I'll give them back now. And what has it got me? Just some teeth I can't chew, my favorite cereal with.
on guitar. And the back, Hungry Isaac Hidden on bass. We'd like to thank you for being such a wonderful audience, and we bid you a fine good night.
and killed, or they packed up and gone. And why I'm still here is a question, and the answer's unknown. But the cars keep driving, and the people keep piling on in with their hopes and dreams all shining, but they'll never, ever, never get what.
Some Ventura.
It was called The Plant. Before that, it was called the Blah Blah Cafe. I have the weirdest image after the gig, one of those plant gigs, the singer of REO Speedwagon coming up to D Boone and rapping after the gig about how he could relate to us. And just looking at that guy talking to D Boone, and D Boone was, you know, respectful and listening to him, and his hair was so big. And D Boone was so little.
Kevin Cronin, his name is.
That's right, that's right. Okay, Serial Song by the Bicycle Thief. After that was the Born Shit Stirrers with Politically Uncorrectable. Bombas Prendon out of Integers, a DC band that never did gigs, just made cassettes. Kim Salmon and Spencer P. Jones, Underclass. Spencer was with the Beast of Bourbon, and cancer killed him. It's fucked up.
Oh.
Yeah. Too many. Brian Two, the bass man from that band, lost cancer. Abrams and Kane with track two from Death Rattle. That's Pat from Model Home when he was blowing sax. Brand new from Flying Vipers with Devil's Harvest. And finally, the Bicycle Thief with LA Country Hometown Blues. What's that about, right, Bob?
That's, speaking of death, that's about all our fallen friends. Hillel, Top Jimmy, you know, so many friends from the cafe era gone. And I kept that to myself. Why do I still live here? Like a lot of my friends are dead. And then the ones that were successful moved away from Hollywood. And I was still living in Hollywood, 30 years in Hollywood, East Hollywood.
That's a tough shift. Tough shift right. To pull. Tough shift to pull. But,
Hey, you're one that can tell people, because I try to tell people all the time, you remember how great Top Jimmy and the Rhythm Pigs were?
Absolutely.
Were they the greatest live band? They
Carlos
were so
Catarlos,
great.
Guilty on the bass.
It's hard to describe, right? I try to tell people, like, and they made one record. It doesn't really capture it. It's good, but it doesn't capture it. There was just, every Monday night at the cafe, it was like, wow, it's like seeing the Doors or something. It's like seeing Merle Haggard, or it's just like crazy. And you saw it many times, Watt.
Yeah, I remember Top Tommy. Brady worked at Top Taco or some shit.
Yeah.
And,
on La Brea.
Yeah, right. And the spiel was, get your drunk on and be somebody. Right? He'd start every gig off of that.
That was his motto. Be drunk and be somebody.
And then at the end of the gig, I remember this gig at Hong Kong Cafe, Chinatown. At the end, you know, everybody's bailed and shit. He's going over all the empty beer bottles and shit, drinking them down. You know, oh my God. Spitting out cigarette butts and shit.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of Gibby. So, you know, as touring, you start to establish these friendships with different bands, right? You had your bands that you were friends with. I had bands that I was friends with. And the Buttholes and Gibby were, like, my best friends. I couldn't wait to get to Austin, right?
Right.
And so I wake up in this hotel, and Gibby is there, and he's taking all the beer cans and pouring them into a glass, like a Motel 6 glass. And I was like, what are you doing? And he goes, just getting a one good glass of beer, Bobby. And I was like, and like cigarette butts would be inside and he'd scrape them out.
Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah, right.
My God.
And I hear people
like
call those the good old days.
Leftover beer from last night.
Yeah, right. Top Jimmy was more particular. He wanted only a couple hours old. Look, we're at the end of the hour two. September 18, 2020, this WAP Peter Show special guest, Josh Bob. Hold tight for hour three. September 18, 2020, it's third hour of the WAP for Pedro Show.
Hope you don't mind if I just sit here a while. Well, I've been off the beaten track for a long, long time. Don't know if I was misled or just got lost. But I know nothing's ever, never gonna be the same again, no how. Cause everything is just closing in. Well, I don't know that I have one single friend. Not one single friend. My mom thinks I need religion. I think I need a shower and something to eat. Can I bum another cigarette? Thanks for listening to me. No, I don't like to steal, but I've got me. And I know nothing's ever, never gonna be okay. Well, I don't know that I have one single friend. Not one single friend. Not one single friend. Not one single friend.
everybody's going out and having fun. I'm a fool for staying home and having none. I can't get over how she set me free. Hold on to me. Bad mistakes I'm making by just hanging around. I know that I should go out now and paint the town. I'm a lovesick fool who's blind and just can't see. Oh, lonesome me. Well, I bet she's not like me. She's out there fancy free, flirting with everyone in town. But I still love her so. And brother, don't you know, I'd welcome her right back here in my arms, Lord. The past and go find somebody new. I've thought of everything from A to Z. Hold on to me. Hold on to me. Oh, hold on to me.
For Pedro Show, start off third hour with Boy at a Bus Stop. This time it's the Rough VS 880 mix, which was actually the demo, Bicycle Thief. Then we had Crane doing Golden Age, a Bronze Age UFO out of a Balmore with Boys Will Be Voids, Part B, The Hawk from Iowa City, Gibsons. Who's living there? Ron Emery from TSOL.
Yeah, he's got right. Some house that he redid.
That's right. Great cat. And he made it through a drug hell.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, great cat. I've always, him and Jack, Mike too, we lost Todd, shit. Anyway, yeah. The Bicycle Thief with the Lonesome, Oh Lonesome Me. Sorry about that. Look, let's talk about this new record that Chris, hit me to and got you guys connected. I'm so glad you're on the show, by the way, because you're both beautiful. But tell me about this Bicycle Thief record. That's just it's coming out tomorrow, right?
Yep. 21st.
Yes, 21 years old. 21 years late.
Oh, it's coming out 21st, Monday. Okay.
Yeah. And it's been 21 years since we made it.
Well, you know what Orson Welles said? His last gig, right?
I want to know.
No wine before it's time.
Was that when he was plugging Paul Masson?
Yeah, $2 Chuck with a screw-on cap.
$3.99, $2 Chuck.
Anyway, so let's hear about this 21-year-old story.
Go ahead, Josh.
Well, we made this record in a time when vinyl wasn't really on anybody's mind, I guess. So, you know, we made it. We had some friends, you know, Bob had all these wonderful people, who were anxious to, you know, hear what he was up to now. So Paul from Golden Voice put this record out for us and, you know, it did whatever it did at that time, but, people have just kind of held on to it and continued to listen to it and have a special place in their heart for it. And, so it's never really went far and wide, but it never really went away either. So now that vinyl's back, Chris, wonderful fella from New York, decided to print up a couple vinyl copies of it.
Cause he loved it as a kid, Watt. He was a big Chili Pepper fan in high school, right? And he heard about this connection to me and the Chili Peppers. And so he got the Bicycle Thief record like 15 years ago, 6 years after it came out, and he loved it, and it became his favorite album. And so he contacted me via the World Wide Web and said, hey, this has never come out on vinyl. I have a record label. I would put it out on vinyl if you want to. And I called Josh and I said, this kid wants to put Bicycle Thief out on vinyl. And he was like, you're kidding. And so that's what led us to this. And it was only like 8 months ago that he reached out to me.
Now, see how fast things can happen? Also, I think another lesson to be learned is don't ever give up, right? 21 years, no wine before its time. Now, is there any difference between that version 21 years ago and this version?
No, not really. I think this is the original version that came out. We had a weird thing happen where the record got kind of a new licensing deal not too long after it was released originally, and it came out a year after the original release with two extra songs. So there is a different version of it, but this is the original version.
Okay. And it's the first time vinyl, period.
Yeah, the first time vinyl.
Wow. Now, how long did it take you guys to record that thing 21 years ago?
I don't know, a couple months? Not that long. I mean, like, you know, no, a month or so? I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't that long to make it. To write it, that machine that you're talking about that's the title on the song, the version, we, like, recorded it all with that machine. Like, pretty much, right, Josh? It was pretty much like the album. Then we went and recorded that with real live instruments in a studio.
Yeah,
we recreated it.
We met these two guys, Mark Huttner and Josh Blum, and they were starting to produce records. So the four of us kind of teamed up, and we just had a good time with no real time frame, demoing and just coming up with the best way to make these songs whole, make some most of them Bob wrote, and just kind of taking them to a new sonic territory, I guess. And we rented an office overlooking MacArthur Park, and we would just go there every day at around
after work, like at 6 o'clock.
We'd go there at 8:30 at night because we had to get in the building before 9 o'clock before they locked the door, and then we could stay in there all night if we wanted. But we had to, like, a couple times I left something in the car and I'd have to go down and keep the door propped open.
Yeah, you have to open. Yeah, it was a dental. It was like an old dental office right on MacArthur Park on Wilshire. And it overlooked, we had two windows that overlooked MacArthur Park. And we'd stay there from like 6, 7 o'clock at night till 1 or 2 in the morning, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week. It was so fun.
Yeah, we brought a bunch of furniture down and a bunch of instruments and we'd just hang out.
Whoa. I want to play You Won't Be Missed.
You had all your glory days, yeah. The older you get now, well, the further they fade away till it's like they're gone. Like they never happened. The world keeps telling you you're something that you're not. You believe it though, cause it's all that you got, but it ain't enough. Not even close. Baby, you better get some new dreams, or you might as well die now, yeah. Well, you better stop me some new things, cause I do believe in lies. And you won't be missed. No, you won't be missed. had with a girl a couple of months. She found out she was positive and enough was enough right out the door. To the bathroom floor. Beliefs and decisions reverberate throughout our lives. Make it up as you go. Baby, you better get some new jeans, or you might as well die now, yeah. Well, you better stop believing some new things, 'cause you do believe in lies, yeah. And you won't be missed, now you won't be missed. Are you just faking you take, so you won't be missed? Well, you won't be missed.
they took my life, or they took my friends. I won't give them back, but I want them back. I'll give them back now. Hey, what's it got me? Just on teeth I can't chew. My favorite is your will. I'm being cool and looking good. Keep bitches and lady bros and all of the land will I give up. Sometimes I get sad or I'll get mad about where I should be now and where I am, and I wanna go back. But what has it got me? Just on teeth I can't chew. My favorite cereal with. Oh, where has it got me? I'm 39 years old now. Well, she can't stop, and his teeth are falling out, and he's living at his mom's, and it's no fun. I guess I'm lucky I'm alive. Well, it's lucky I'm alive, 'cause I should be dead. Well, I am it. What has it got me? Just some teeth I can't chew. My favorite cereal. Yeah, where's it got me? I'm 39 years old
for that, ladies and gentlemen.
Watch for Pedro Show. You won't be missed by the Bicycle Thief. Then Galaxy. I was telling you about these guys. Heaven Channel, Season 2, LP 1, Part 1. And then finally, the live version of Serial Song from the Bicycle Thief.
So I was going to comment on You Won't Be Missed. I wanted to tell you, like, you know, my mission in life the last 25 years, Watt, has been like trying to help people be free like we were free with music, be free of drugs. And one of the things that song is about, how do you get through to someone who's so lost on drugs, right? I myself was, most of my friends were, and I just happened to get in this argument with an addict friend of mine. I won't say who it is, but I say, you know, and I said that to them. I said, dude, you won't be missed. And just to try, you know how you're trying to break through denial and you're trying to fucking shock them out of their numbed state. And he woke up out of, with that statement and wanted to kick my ass. Right? Which I knew. Now he's alive. Now he fucking wants to fight for his life. Now he wants to be honest and real.
Great.
Right?
Yeah, great.
Because when you're on drugs, you live in this fantasy land that you're Jim Morrison or, you know, all this bullshit. And all you're really going to be, what, is dead at 27. That's what you're going to fucking be.
That was Jim Morrison.
Right? And everybody else.
Yeah. Except when you miss Burroughs.
Yeah, Burroughs just kept on going. You know, one time we were playing in Lawrence.
You know what I mean? That one example, they always looked to him. Yes, he did it.
Yeah. Oh, I bowed down to him. So a kid, we're playing in Lawrence at the college, and a kid tells me, you know, I know you're a big fan of Burroughs. He goes and gets his methadone at the medical center here at the college every morning. If you want, I'll pick you up and you can meet him. And I was like, what? And I went, and there, sure enough, we waited like 45 minutes, an hour. He comes in with his friend, and he's just all dressed to the nines with his suit and tie and vest and hat. And I said, Mr. Burroughs, you know, I just am a big fan, and I, you know, and I gave him the Thelonious Monster CD, right? Whoa. Like meeting Burroughs.
Right.
In Lawrence, Kansas. You ever meet him, Watt?
No, I haven't. I wish I would have. You know, I like to start. But what I was getting at was the lifestyle.
Yeah. Well,
talking. I love his art. I love the way that man talked. You hear spiels? I got hours of it. I play on tour in the boat.
It's so great. He used to be a narcotic addict, was treated with a little bit of decency and respect. That's one of my favorite lines of all time. It used to be that a narcotic addict was treated with a little bit of decency and some respect.
Yeah, what's that about? So look, we're at the end of the show. I need the last. Well, where can people find you on the internet?
Josh has a fan page, actually.
I don't know, actually. That's a good question, Juan.
There's something of yours, Josh. I do know.
I know there's a Bob Forrest. Yeah, but there is a Bob.
Zuckerberg is the devil.
I'm not talking about that.
He's the devil himself.
Bob, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your own personal website, like having your own fanzine. And I know there's a BobForrestMusic.com.
Yeah, there's BobForrestMusic.com.
That's right. Nate Potlicker's the man involved.
Yeah.
Look, advice. First, Josh, you. Any advice to people who want to get into drums or guitar or co-songwriting?
Just do it all the time. Just play, 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 play.
Bob?
And mine is there's most of us have things inside that need to get out because we're traumatized by them, by things that hold us back and haunt us and torture us. And songwriting is a vehicle and poetry is a vehicle to get it out of you and look at it and analyze it and let it go and be free. Be free of all this kind of what's holding you back. Like the music of the Beach Boys, the music of the Clash, the music of the Minutemen, the music of the Beatles, the music of Bob Dylan, the music of Nirvana, the music of Led Zeppelin freed me. It freed me. And then being a musician and writing songs elevated me to being free. Music is freedom. It frees you.
That's great. Both you guys, I love you much. And I'm glad you're here to continue. You're going to make some more Bicycle Thief music together?
I hope so.
We are.
That's great. That is great news. People, it's been the September 18th, 2020. This is Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.